What a fucking game.
Welcome to Split the Defense. Leafs post-game edition.
Which is unusual.
There's still a chance.
Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors. Professional and efficient service since 2004. Serving the Kingston and surrounding areas.
I always feel so stupid.
Well, it seemed like they were missing something.
Alongside co-host Craig Pierce and producer Ted Evans. Here's your host, Jordan Webster.
Like, how can you not love this team tonight?
We're back on Split the Defense, Leafs postgame. I'm Webby with CP and producer Ted in the booth. Thumbs up this episode, subscribe to our YouTube, rate us 5 stars, leave us a comment because we love those. Major milestones were met tonight, but not for Austin Matthews. The Leafs regular season is officially over and it's time to gear up for the playoffs. I want to hear what you have to say about this one, CP.
Oh, it's a tough game, you know, like you go into it thinking that all you care about is the 70 goal mark. And now that he didn't get it, I'm kind of like, well, that was kind of a shitty game too. So, it's weird when he goes for it, he seems to not like have the best of luck. I guess like you're just pushing it too much. And, you know, a guy like Holmberg who just kind of like flips one over the goalie's shoulder and it goes in. So, I think just trying too hard, trying to push it. We're not going to see. Well, yeah, it just kind of sucks now because we've now lost 4 games in a row. And it's kind of been mostly because of like, you know, guys not playing their hardest and we're chasing a Matthews milestone. And so now it just feels like it's all for nothing in a way.
Yeah, I can get with that. It does kind of all feel for nothing. And I don't really care. I was legitimately worried at the beginning of this game, maybe the midway through this game. They were down 3-1, then 4-1. Well before 5-1, I was worried, thinking, fuck, this team is cooked. This team, yeah. they don't have it. Like, there's something missing. And then part of me realized, like, no, they're pushing way too hard for Matthews. Like, way too hard. They're not playing a team game. You're not seeing the normal guys that you see step up, the mercenaries that we've had all year step up and do the things that they do. You know, one of the most noticeable guys tonight was David Kampf.
Right, yeah.
And like, for that to be something in this Leafs hockey game, that just shows you that everybody was deferring. Everybody. The only guy that didn't play was Austin Matthews, which he probably did. He probably logged minutes with Austin Matthews tonight. I'm sure he did. Like, everybody did. Matthews had like 13 shots on goal or something like that by the end of the game. Something ridiculous. It was 11 when I last checked. So he had so many opportunities tonight, but he never got it to cash. And I think you're right. He was pushing. He was pushing too hard and the whole team was pushing to him and everybody was trying to stop him. It was like the Tampa Bay Lightning only had one thing to shut down and that was Austin Matthews. And I think that was the Achilles heel. And I don't really think it was about winning hockey games for these last couple of nights.
No, it definitely, like, last night was a bit more, like, you saw a bit more of a push in the first period. But tonight, there was just basically nothing. And it's kind of been, like, 2 weeks off for Willie. You know, he hasn't been bringing it for a while now. So, like, I just hope that there's a switch that's turned off at the moment for half these guys. And we see a different team come Saturday. I don't know. Like, my expectations, I guess, were just so low going into it that, like, I shouldn't care about a loss. But I hate losing. So it's just, it still bugs me. But, like, yeah, it's, everyone's just kind of, like, Willie not playing well then affects Tavares. You know, Tavares is just kind of not looked great now for 2 games. Whoever's been on that line, which is mostly Nyes, like, not looking great offensively. So, I don't know. And, like, is Willie going to be playing on the second line come Saturday? Like, that's another thing where...
Can anybody honestly answer that question? Can Sheldon Keefe look himself in the mirror right now and answer the question of who is going to play where on Saturday right now? I don't think he's 100% even set in that. And you have to take into consideration, Martin Jones is in goal. Riley, McCabe, and Edmondson got the evening off. Max Domi's out. Callie Yarncroke's out. Bobby McMahon's out. They're all possible to play game one, but half the team isn't there. So it's going to be a completely different team come game one.
For sure.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not even going to be the same group of people. So this struggling group of who's going to play where and what are the lines going to look like? Well, you don't know, because that you can't take anything that you saw tonight or even last night much into consideration, because there's going to be guys available that weren't available, guys that are playing in different spots. I really honestly couldn't tell you who I think is going to be in the starting lineup or where William Nylander is going to play in game one of the playoffs. But you know what? If there was betting line, I would put it on the second line right wing, just because that's where he always ends up.
Yeah, that's true. And like, yeah, I will say that like one positive I'll take from this game is that Matthews and Marner both look very healthy. And so, you know, you just, what more can you ask for than your stars? You know, everyone basically that's like truly important to this team is coming in healthy. And yes, like we're coming, like there's some, you know, injuries on the edges, and you know, hopefully Domi's, you know, pretty healthy because he's become a really important player. But you know, if Bobby McMahon isn't in the lineup, like doesn't necessarily like make or break it, right? But you know, just to see that like, yeah, Matthews is pushing so hard, he's obviously feeling like good enough to be in there. So yeah,
I will give it to Mitch Marner. That guy was buzzing, and he has been buzzing. He's looked really good since he came back. He's gotten better every game, at least his foot speed, his game pace, the way he pushes the pace of the play. He was forechecking hard tonight, and he was working like a dog to try and get that puck to Matthews all night. Now, again, it was all deferring to Matthews constantly, yeah, when there was other plays wide open and plays that you're used to seeing this Leafs team make that just weren't made. And Mitch Marner was still give that guy a lot of credit, because he was buzzing around the zone and still pushing really hard. I think that it's a great sign that you see him healthy. I think it's a great sign that, you know, Matthews isn't going to be playing like this in game one of the playoffs. I guess as an overall summary of what we've been going over is that these last two games, they didn't count. They as much as we said they counted, they actually didn't count. And you know, we joked, oh, they don't count. And you know, to me, they really felt like they did. They're Florida, they're Tampa, they're gear up games. And, you know, we said everybody's going to rest. And then nobody really, I mean, none of the core four rested.
No, none of the core like five. We obviously, but, like, I think the biggest two rested were Riley and McCabe. I guess Samsonov and Wall, neither of them were the goalie. Yeah. But like the forwards, like Keith said in his, like, interview, I think this morning or last post game, maybe yesterday, is that, like, you know, he's like basically only has 12 healthy forwards here, so like there was not much of resting to be had, you know, unless he was going to go 11-7, which they did think about. Like, they couldn't really rest anyone, so
no, that's right. They only had, like you said, I've only got 12 forwards available. That's probably like three quarters of the reason that he actually dressed Matthews. If he had a whole bunch of options, like there's a world of possibility where Matthews didn't dress, but obviously he was shooting for 70. And I think that there's just too much respect there mutually between coach and organization and a superstar player that they're not going to sit him, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't read too much into this game.
Keith did everything he could for Matthews, like, you know, put him out there in every situation, even pulls the goalie when, like, it's obviously and they're not going to come back and win. And he'll chalk it up to just practice. Like,
two games
just
in a row.
Preparing for a, you know, 6-on-5. You know, that's how he said it for yesterday. But it's like, well, we know what you're actually doing. Like, we're chasing something.
What I'd like to say, though, is that I did have good faith coming back at the end of the game. It was right around the John Tavares goal where I went, oh, the team's not cooked. So if they didn't play so focused on trying to get Matthews that goal for, you know, 55 minutes of the game, where they actually, you know, they had the 1 minute where John scored and a couple other minutes where they actually got good attempts from other players. But if they didn't weren't so heavily focused on Matthews, they probably could have beat Tampa tonight. And I wonder if they weren't chasing 70, what the game would look like against Florida last night as well. Cause like, I know that you say at the beginning of the game that it didn't matter and you don't think that was a part of it, but I really do. I really think that these last two games were more about his milestone than the team.
Yeah. The first period yesterday was just obviously a team game. And other than that, I feel like it's just been five pretty bad periods. Where, like, yeah, one guy out there is getting great shots, but Other than that, and like the everyone kind of scoring late in the game is because Tampa's just hyper focused on one guy, and like Tavares scored from Matthew's spot, right? But it's like Matthew starts moving around, and so Tampa's defense starts moving around with them, and there's openings, and they did try real hard for like a minute, and then like the last minute, it was more of like, okay, well, John Tavares is wide open in the slot, or not in the slot, but on the right side there, and yeah, they're gonna take it. So yeah, it's kind of a double-edged sword there where, you know, Matthews is trying a little too hard, but at the same time, like, he's always has someone, like, marking him specifically, and if not one, like, two. So, yeah, just tough at that point. But then that makes someone else open.
It's true. It was absolute silly season, though. Like, I mean, it's you can't even take this time of the year seriously. The way that you can see, like, Noah Gregor has an extra gear right now for some reason. Like, he's like, oh, maybe I can get another goal or two. Like, maybe I can just pad those stats. And, you know, like Pontus Holmberg's playing with a little more like, hey, maybe I can get Ryan Reeves scored on a one-timer tonight.
Right.
Like, you know what?
All those guys have in common.
What?
They're like at the bottom of the depth chart. Right. So, yeah, like those guys are the guys trying because they're not sure if their seat is secure. And yeah, Gregor, like, season. He's been resting for so long. Like, he just has extra gas in the tank, right? Like, that's part of that one. But, yeah.
Yeah. I think we just forget, you know, we just forget that.
I don't care about the losses as much as, like, just having a four-game losing streak going into the playoffs is just the part that just doesn't feel so hot to me. And we haven't seen a clicking team. You know, like, yes, I don't care about those last two results, but like, it just would have been good to see something, you know, like just a little bit of clickiness so I could feel a little more confident. I felt more confident on Sunday than I do today. But it's just the nature of the beast when you're coming down to it.
You push the button now, CP, you push that button, boop, reset. None of that counts. It doesn't matter anymore. We're in the game. We're in the show. We're in the dance. We're going to play. It's, you know, you're just one of 16 at this point. It's anybody's game. Brand new season. So anything could happen. Anything could happen at this point. I really, like I said, I wouldn't take the last few games into consideration at this point anymore. We can stop talking about it. We do have to give the opposition a little bit of love here. Kucherov becomes only the fifth player to ever score 100 assists. I didn't know there was only four players to do it before him. I didn't realize McDavid was one of them either. Gretzky, Lemieux, or McJesus and Kucherov. The five players to score 100 assists in a season. That's crazy.
It is crazy. I wish it was someone else, but yep, crazy.
That's it, ACP. Can't get any love from you. You know, Kucherov, I loved how, like, there was a point tonight where I thought they were booing him, but I think, like, as there's many Leaf fans as there were in the building, like, I think everybody was cheering at that point. You got to give them love for that.
Well, I think their cheer for Kuch sounds like a boo because they're all going, Kuch. So,
yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, that's my
it
point.
Sounds
yeah,
like it booing, like but boo. They're actually giving them love. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's an amazing feat. Like, I mean, those names there, like, would you put Kucherov with Gretzky, Lemieux, and Orr? No. McDavid? No. Yeah.
No.
You'd put McDavid with those guys? Oh, yeah, absolutely you would. Would you put Kucherov? No, you don't have Kucherov. No. Like, and those guys got there this year. So, like, that's just nuts. You have to give that to Kucherov. He did a pretty fucking amazing thing.
Nah,
moving on, though, obviously, because you hate this. TJ Brody broke what was the longest active goal drought at 110 games. Thanks, David Alter, for that stat. He was the most ejected goal scorer I've ever seen in my whole entire life. That guy looked like he just hit somebody's dog.
Yeah, that was rough. I felt bad for him because, like, you know, you should feel good about it. But, you know, again, it's just weird type of season. Everything feels weird. And yeah, to feel shitty about your goal is not a good spot to be in. But yeah, I agree. Very dejected after he scored that one. And you said how long was the streak?
110 games. He went 110 games without a goal. He scores when he's like, oh, why me?
Yeah. Like, I honestly can't believe that. That's crazy. 110 games. Yeah. Yeah. To feel like that, that's poor luck, really.
Yeah. It's
and he's shooting for
crazy.
The tip too, right? Like,
Yeah, I know. And he was definitely shooting for the tip. And you know what was funny was Ryan Reeves was right all up in there, like a dirty shirt, also trying to tip it. And then he goes in, and Matthews is kind of like, oh, and Brody's kind of like, oh, and Reeves is like, yeah.
I know. Yeah. It's the only one that doesn't have a clue on the ice. Yeah. I don't think he knew Matthews was beside him. Like, Matthews came and snuck up behind him. But yeah, the only guy I think that was celebrating that goal.
Yeah, 100%. It was very, very funny. So I think that's all I got on this game. You got anything else in this game, CP?
Not really. I mean, it was funny that I didn't even have the thought really that Jones was going to be in this game. And like, it was, to me, I was hoping to see Sammy just to like, maybe, you know, you get a good game out of him. You know, he, you know, at least even if he lets in two or three, like puts on a good performance. But now I'm just like, at least we got to see Jones, I guess, so that he's the third possible, but I'm very confused now who is going to be the goalie coming Saturday, because, Justin Bourne seemed to think it was Wall, right? I thought it was going to be Samsonov, and now we have no more information because Jones was in net.
Did we not just have this conversation like last night?
Yeah, but and I thought I was going to have more idea information at this now. Point.
So let me get this straight. We've gone through 82 games.
Yep.
We made minimal changes at the deadline.
Yep.
And we don't know who our starting goalie is going to be.
Nope.
We don't know what our top six is going to look like.
No.
And we don't know what our top four is going to look like.
I think yes. I'm pretty confident in the top four. But other than that, I'm not confident in who the last two defensemen are going to be.
You can say top six even.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with that. What the fuck happened there?
Well, I mean, I feel like that's it's partially the goalie thing is almost exclusively because of injury. The rest of it is just a symptom of the coach who just, you know, constantly moving it around, doesn't seem to want to settle on things and finds his new favorite lines and rolls them out for, you know, a month at a time, you know, finds something new that hurt. He loves, you know, rolls it out for another month. So, I don't know. It's like this is the most extreme version of it. You know,
I will say like when Marner came back and we had that first night with, you know, the Bertuzzi and, Domi Matthews line and, you know, the goalie Sammy, I don't think it had that many bad games in a row yet. I felt confident about this team with Samsonov as our starting goalie. And I felt like I knew who our top six was going to be. But you know, now with Bobby McMahon out of the equation, and you know, like he obviously Mitch Marner and William Nylander could play on the same line on the top six, but like with Bobby McMahon out of the equation, that lineup's just not going to be. So we don't know who that's going to be. Then the goalies have taken a shit. Like, I really am not confident about this team at all. We played 82 games to figure out absolutely nothing about this team.
Yeah, for sure. I'm like, it's funny because like you say hit the reset button, but like I just can't, because like a few days ago I felt way better because I thought things were more set. You know, Domi was in the lineup and it seemed like we kind of had a structure to what we were going to see. And then, but the last two games have honestly put my head for a loop. And I know that I should be able to just kind of revert back, but I just can't. So we'll go into it. I'll try and feel positive, but wow, am I going to be nervous on Saturday all day? And like you pointed out, we got to wait an extra hour until the game time. So it's just another hour of sweating it.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. So NHL announced the Eastern Conference round one game one schedules, the Isles at the Canes on Saturday at 5:00. And then the Leafs at the Bruins Saturday at 8:00. Why the fuck did they do that?
Yeah, I'm assuming that we're going to hear about earlier games, too, from the Western Conference.
Well, the next day we have us on Sunday, which kind of makes sense. It's kind of cool. You got a 12:30 game with the Bolts and the Cats, and then you got the Caps and the Rangers at 3 p.m. So, like, you got afternoon hockey. That's exciting. That's fun. I love Sunday afternoon hockey. But why fuck with 7 o'clock Saturday night hockey? Like, it's religion.
Yeah, like, I'm wondering if it's the latest game instead of having, like, a 10 o'clock game. Because we don't know the Western Conference schedule, right? So like it's going to slot in there somewhere. So, and it seems like they're staggering everything, so no one's playing at the same time. So I don't know. I got to see the whole thing before I'm upset. I hope that they don't play at 8 on a weekday, but I'm not really upset about it on a weekend because, you know, I'm up late anyway. Like, sometimes I watch UFC until 2 in the morning. So,
well, I like being able to sit down 7 o'clock every Saturday. I've been doing it for 31 years, not quite, but every single Saturday. Like, what are you doing Saturdays in the wintertime? Like, I don't make plans. Like, I don't. Like, if you've seen me here, you've literally seen me here. Like,
yeah.
We've done this like 76 times. We started a little late in the season. But I've been here every game. This is what I do on Saturdays. What I do anyways. I like to watch the hockey game. And for it to not be at 7 o'clock, that just kind of it takes off my rhythm, my circadian rhythm. Like, it's going to throw everything off. Like, you know, not going to be able to eat breakfast in the morning. Like, everything's going to be weird now.
That early? It's going to affect you that early in the morning?
It affects me. It straight up affects me. Like, why not? I want to be able to, I'm just so used to a 7 o'clock start that this 8 o'clock nonsense is just going to be weird. And then it's going to be like 10:30 by the time the game ends. Like, that's, you know, I want my kids to be able to watch this playoff hockey too. Like, why do you got to put it on so late? Like, it's the Leafs. It's at least the Bruins. Like, I mean, it's massive. Like, you know, fuck the Isles and the Hurricanes. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, figure it out. Who's on the other side? Like, unless it's the Edmonton Oilers, which it possibly is. Like, who else is that popular? I know we love Colorado, but, like, they do not have the pull. They just don't. The market's not that big, right? No. Like, the fan base just isn't. And so, like, you got to think, like, why the fuck wouldn't they have the Leafs in their normal 7 o'clock slot? That just kind of drives me up to the roof.
Yeah, I think everyone should, on Friday, set their clocks ahead. And then, or is it backwards?
Oh, yeah, that's going to help. That's what's going to help me. Yeah, okay, so I'll just take my clock. I'll set it ahead 1 hour, so that way I'll think it's 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
No, that's not going to work. Everybody else is going to be operating on a totally different rhythm of the day. No, yeah. It's not going to work.
I don't know. It is weird. I will agree. But I'm not upset about it like you are, but, you know.
I just think it's stupid. I just think it's stupid. I think they should. The NHL needs to have more respect for the Leafs than they do. And
respect
it's bullshit.
The game.
Respect. Yeah. Respect for the game. All right. Well, I think that's it. You got anything else there, CP?
No. It was halfway through the game, I was like, I think this is going to be maybe the shortest podcast we ever do. So. This was expected. It, like you said, it doesn't matter. So, you know, we'd be pulling out a long one, I think, on Saturday. I think that'll be maybe a longer episode. We'll have a lot of feelings to dish out.
So, yeah, absolutely, we will. We are not done. We will be back for the whole playoffs. After the playoffs, we will still continue doing shows, and we will let you know when all these shows are going to happen. We'll tell you during shows. We'll post it on socials and let everybody know. But I just want to give a shout-out to you for listening. Thank you so much. We appreciate everybody for coming and listening to us, hanging out with us, leaving comments, giving us shit to talk about, listening to us cry about things. You know, we appreciate hanging around with you guys. So hopefully we can hang around with you a little more and you should keep showing your support. But for now, that's a wrap. Thanks for joining us for Split the Defense, Leafs post-game. We appreciate your comments. To show support, hit that like button, subscribe on YouTube, and please rate and review the show. We want your feedback. Find us on X at STDP Hockey and search for Split the Defense on all other socials. Until then, peace.
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 Thanks for tuning in to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs post-game edition. Hosted by Jordan Webster, Craig Pierce, and producer Ted Evans. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors. Professional and efficient service since 2004. Serving the Kingston and surrounding areas.